You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
Well, we are in the book of Acts, and we're going to finish up this sermon series on how to deal with difficult people. We have all have difficult people in our lives. How do you deal with those difficult people? And you might go, from the book of Acts, I think the book of Acts is so interesting. Because if you were to, you know, many times we'll read that and we'll go, man, God did great things. But sometimes we don't put ourselves personally in what they must have been feeling. Paul, Silas, Timothy, as they were walking through this time of finding their purpose and being used by God, they faced incredibly difficult circumstances, incredibly difficult people, and I think they gave us such a great example. So as we dig into the Word today, I want to encourage you, put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself to think, man, what would it have felt like? What would it have been like? What would have I had to do? Because so many times difficult people in our lives are sent to stop us from accomplishing our purpose, to stop us from accomplishing what God has called us to accomplish. And I love the model and the example that the disciples showed us when they encountered difficult people and difficult situations. Difficult people can keep you from accomplishing your purpose. Difficult people in your life, and we all have them. The only people that don't have difficult people in their lives are the ones that stay home, right? Anytime that you're going to be around people, there are going to be people that come into your life that are difficult to deal with. In fact, there will be people that hurt you because, and we laugh about difficult people, but when you talk about people who are difficult, some of you have been hurt by those people. Some of you have had to deal with, in fact, as we're coming up to the holiday season, you know that there's a difficult family member that you're dreading having to be around. Right? Now, some of you are laughing, but some of you know what I'm talking about. You just do everything you possibly can to avoid them. Right? You do everything. You know that there's a difficult person in your world that you're going to have to deal with at the holidays. And some of us, it brings stress. Some of us, you're going, man, I don't know how. I mean, every time we get together, it's difficult. Every time we get together, I'm not looking forward to it. And today, I want to give you some tools on how you deal with difficult people. And the message title is Being Unstoppable. We cannot let those difficult people stop us. We have message notes today. If you didn't get a copy, they're in the back in our worship guide. But how do you become unstoppable? That is an E. I'm not sure why it's going off the screen. I did spell it right. I don't always spell it right, but I did this time, all right? So being unstoppable. Because so many times in life I've seen difficult people come and people just stop. They stop from accomplishing their purpose. How do we become unstoppable? Because that's something that I see with the disciples, with Paul, Silas, Timothy, Barnabas, every one of those characters. They would encounter difficult people, and they would not let them stop. They would not be stopped from accomplishing God's purpose. And I'm going to tell you something. Anytime that you're going after your purpose, anytime that you're saying, God, I know you've called me to do this, be ready, because the enemy throws difficult people, difficult situations to see if he can stop you. And what God is calling us to be is unstoppable. He's calling us to not stop, but to keep going, to keep pushing forward, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're walking through, even if it means difficult people. And I want to tell you, especially when there are difficult people in your lives that you're dealing with, the disciples were unstoppable. They did not quit. They kept pushing forward. They kept saying, Jesus, you gave us the Great Commission. You gave us the assignment of spreading the gospel. You gave us this purpose in our lives, and we're not going to stop. And I want to submit to you that whatever your God-given purpose is, if you run into difficult people, do not stop. It doesn't matter what they think of you. It doesn't matter what they say about you. It doesn't matter what they throw at you to try to stop. I want to encourage you, be unstoppable. Keep moving. Keep moving forward. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Have you ever had a difficult person in your life that never seems to go away? Every time you turn around, this person is right there. Somebody's raising their hand over there. Hopefully it's not your wife or your husband or your mom and dad, right? We can pray about that here a little bit. But that difficult person, not only are they difficult, but they never seem to go away. Every time you turn around, they're there making your life difficult. These people are some of the most difficult people to deal with. It's like that person at work who seems to thrive on making your life difficult. Every time something happens, they seem to be in the mix. How do you deal with that? Maybe that person in your life, in your neighbor, maybe it's that neighbor that you live right next door to, that every time your dog barks, they call the cops. That happened to us in Republic, Missouri. We thought, man, doesn't the Republic Police Department have something better to do than to show up at our door every time our dog barks because our neighbor calls? We really had to pray, right? We even saw him taking pictures of our house one day as the dog was barking. And trust me, I wanted to just go deal with that, but I really had to hold my tongue. Difficult neighbors. If you have a difficult neighbor that you live in, you can have difficult people in any area of your life. How do you deal with them? Difficult people can be especially challenging when they're just being difficult because they know you're a believer. When they just know that you love Jesus and they're trying to push you to show them an unchristian behavior. Maybe it's maybe you're in a work environment that's hostile for Christians. Maybe you're the only Christian where you work and everyone tries to do everything they can get you to do to quit and give in, even challenging your faith. It's challenging to go through difficult people. Or how about the difficult person that even after you leave your job and you go to another job, they follow along with you. And they try to make your life even more miserable. Anybody ever face somebody like that difficult? I'm talking difficult. Like they follow you. They follow after you. They're like, I'm going to do whatever I can. You have to block them on Facebook, block them on Twitter, block them on Snapchat because they're following after you. Difficult people. I'm glad that none of you have had to deal with that. You might someday. They're also called stalkers. I'm just kidding. Once they hear that things are going well for you in your new neighborhood or your new job, they go to work at making your life miserable. When we're dealing with difficult people, we have to make a decision to not let them stop us. No matter how difficult they are, no matter what they're choosing to do, you have to rise above it. No matter what, don't give up, don't give in. You're going to show them the love of Jesus no matter how difficult they are. And that's exactly where Paul, Silas, and Timothy and Luke found themselves in Acts chapter 17. If you want to turn there, that's kind of where we're going to be at today. In Acts chapter 17, they were dealing with a particularly difficult group of people that seemed to not want to leave them alone. Even when they went to another city, you know, they started out in Thessalonica and they had shared all the good things about the Lord and people started giving their hearts to Jesus. They started loving the Lord. And all of a sudden this group of a couple weeks ago we talked about how to deal with jealous people, but this group of jealous individuals rose up against them. It was incredible, and their goal was to try to stop. Not only did they rise up against them, but they caused a mob scene as they were ministering and as they were going about what God had called them to do. They were jealous because Paul had been preaching that the Gentiles could be saved just like the Jewish people. They were saying, hey, salvation's for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're Jewish or Gentile. And the Jewish people that kind of formed that mob didn't like it. They got the scripture tells us that they got some evil men and they created an angry mob that stirred up the city. And that's the thing, difficult people will try to do whatever it takes to make your life miserable. And that's where we have to rise above them. It's exactly, they try to do whatever they can to stir things up. These people went out of their way to make Paul, Silas, and Timothy's life, Paul's team, miserable. Remember, the crowds were the same kind of crowds, and this is what's so challenging about this. Is the crowds were the same kind of crowds and the same kind of spirit that went from honoring Jesus on Palm Sunday to crucifying him 7 days later. There was a history that Paul and these disciples would remember. So we're not talking about something that wasn't serious. I mean, you think about their lives were literally at risk with this group of individuals. We're talking serious. And what happened is the Jewish men were trying to get Paul and the other guys to quit and give up, and they refused. They were unstoppable. They pushed forward even when it could have cost them their lives. We have to have the same resolve. We have to have the same resolve to push forward and to do what God has called us to do. Devon last Sunday talked about finding our purpose and going after that. And I'm going to tell you, you'll never find your purpose if you don't have the resolve to stick through when you're running after that purpose and you run into difficult situations and difficult people and the enemy tries to stop you. Amen? We got to keep running. Anybody out there with me? We got to keep moving. And I'm serious. The enemy comes after us sometimes in difficult times and big challenges. No matter who you run into in your life, don't let them stop you from accomplishing your purpose and destiny. And I'll say this too. Maybe the difficult person isn't in your life anymore. Maybe they were in your life 20 years ago, and they're still speaking to you today and holding you back from accomplishing what God has called you to do. Today is the day to cut ties with that voice that you hear from somebody in your past. Don't let them continue to dictate what God wants to do in your life. Paul didn't stop. Let's read what happened in Acts 17, 10 through 15, and this is from the Message. That night, and this was the night after the mob had come after them, under the cover of darkness, their friends got Paul and Silas out of town as fast as they could. Sounds like a movie. I think we could write a movie on this. They sent them to Berea, where they again met with the Jewish community. They were treated, this is about 45 miles away, they were treated a lot better there than in Thessalonica. The Jews received Paul's message with enthusiasm and met with him daily, examining the scriptures to see if they supported what he said. I want to stop here for just a moment and take a little bit of a rabbit trail. Every one of us should be doing this same thing. When you hear a teacher or a preacher, including me, you need to stop and examine the scripture for yourself. You need to make sure that it lines up with what God's word is saying. You don't want just my thoughts and my opinions. You don't want just the preacher, whoever's teaching you, their thoughts and their opinions. You've got to make sure that it lines up with the truth. And so I encourage you, whenever you hear a sermon, whenever you hear somebody speak to you, as believers, we need to do the same thing that the people in Berea did. Go back and test that word against Scripture. Go back and study it for yourself. Don't just be force-fed. Don't just say, well, hey, you know, just because pastor said it doesn't mean that I don't need to study it. I do my best to always line up with Scripture. In fact, I tell people that I try to make it like a legal argument, where I'll put legal argument into place to back up what I'm saying that I found in Scripture. Okay? But we all have to go and study the word for ourselves. Amen? So don't just take what somebody says to you, no matter if they're on TV or they're on this pulpit. And it's not a matter that you don't trust, but Scripture tells us to go and study the word for yourself. Make sure that it lines up so that you're protected. Amen? Don't just take it. Don't just take my word for it. Go in and study it for yourself. Okay, a lot of them became believers, including many Greeks who were prominent in the community, men and women of influence. Again, Gentiles were being saved. Gentiles' lives were being transformed. But it wasn't long before reports got back to Thessalonians, the hardline Jews, that Paul was at it again, preaching the word of God, this time in Berea. That person that never gives up, they're just following you and keep moving along with you just to be difficult. They lost no time in responding and created a mob scene there too. With the help of his friends, Paul gave them the slip. I love that. Caught a boat and got put out to sea. Silas and Timothy stayed behind. The men who helped Paul escape got him as far as Athens and left him there. Paul sent word back with them to Silas and Timothy, come as quickly as you can. It's amazing how many times in life when you're following God's purpose, that you're following God's direction in your life, and all of a sudden difficult people pop up right when things seem to be going good. It's strategic to try to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And it's interesting because the Jewish people in Berea were enthusiastically accepting the gospel. They loved what Paul was saying. Then the word got back to the men in Thessalonica, if I can say it, and they built this mob to come and to try to stop. It's amazing, difficult people, and it could have potentially got very ugly. It didn't stop Paul and his team. Paul got out of town there too. And Paul could have said, you know what, Everywhere I go, I have difficulties and I'm just done. I can't do anymore. He didn't, though. He kept moving. He kept saying, God, I will not be stopped. I will not be stopped. So how did Paul and his team remain unstoppable with difficult people in different difficult circumstances? I want to point out to you four things that I pulled out of Scripture that I think when we run into difficult people, it's so important to have. Point number one, surround yourself with true friends. Who you hang out with. And we tell junior high, we tell kids this all the time. Who you hang out with will define who you are. It's the same for us as believers. Who you're hanging out with defines who you truly are. Acts 17:10, that night, under the cover of darkness, their friends got Paul and Silas out of town as fast as they could. Man, I would be so thankful for friends like this who came along and said, listen, we're getting you out of here. True friends will always encourage you. They'll always protect you. They will lovingly tell you the truth, will always have your back, will cheer you on to always keep going and never stop. They give more than they take, and they love you. How many times do we try to befriend difficult people in our lives thinking we can change them? Difficult people always take more than they give. They discourage you every time they get a chance. They have no loyalty. They'll gossip behind your back. They do everything they can to discredit you and take you out. They operate in jealousy, and they use you. So I think it's so important that every person that comes into our life, we say, what kind of a friend are you? Like, are you a true friend? Are you here to be a difficult person? You need true friends in your life. You need to get away from difficult people. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Be careful who you allow to pour into your life. It's in those times that you're dealing with difficulties that you're so thankful for true friends. People that you can really trust. And I think one of the challenges in America that we have today, we are more disconnected from people than ever before. We've talked about this a lot. We can get on our social media. We have all of these ways to be connected, but we're not spending enough time face-to-face with each other. We're not spending time with our friends. We're not spending time with our true friends. And I want to encourage you, build deep, strong relationships with true friends. Spend some time, especially the guys. Most guys I talk to will tell me I don't have one friend in my life. Men in this room, it's vital that we have friendship, true friendship, true, deep friendship, where you can pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm struggling. I need your help. Point number two, they did not get distracted by difficult people. Acts 17:3, but it wasn't long before reports got back to the Thessalonian hardline Jews that Paul was at again, preaching the word of God, this time in Berea. They lost no time responding and creating a mob scene there too. When difficult people come into our lives, we can't get distracted by what we're dealing with them. The enemy can use difficult people to distract you. Many times difficult people are simply a nuisance, but they can get serious too. There's other times where they are serious and they're threatening your job and they're threatening your families. That's where we can't get distracted. And no matter how intense it gets with a difficult person, don't get distracted, because God is either who he says he is or he's not. And he's going to protect you when you run across difficult people. I love David, where David would just say, man, I have 100,000 people after me, and I'm going to go rest in God's hand. I'm going to let him do the protecting. I'm going to stand still. I'm going to let him. It's when we get all worried and we try to take things into our own hands that we get distracted. So how about we say, Jesus, I'm dealing with a difficult person. I'm going to hand it over to you and let you deal with it, and I'm not going to get distracted from what you've called me to do. We spend so much time trying to process through this. What does distracted mean? I think it's so important to go back to the dictionary and look at what the definition is. It's this: one is a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. So if your attention is divided trying to deal with a distracted person, then your full attention can't be on what God's called you to do. That's why the enemy tries to do it. Another definition of distracted is extreme agitation of the mind or emotions. And I'm going to tell you this. Do not let a difficult person get into your mind or your emotions. That's where we fall into trouble. When we let them get into our mind or our emotions, and it's so easy to do, right? Because we're emotional people. Things happen in our mind. And how do you do that? I think that's, again, we say, Jesus, I'm dealing with a difficult person. I'm giving them to you. You deal with it, Lord. I'm not going to allow it into my spirit. Both of these definitions can happen. Don't let difficult and negative people steal your joy and take your strength. If they steal your joy, what are they actually taking? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so as we look at that, I think it's so interesting. If Paul and his team would not have had strength because the joy was stolen because of this man, would they have accomplished what God called them to do? So many of us let our joy get stolen so quickly. Do not let your joy get stolen. I want to remind you what joy is. Happiness is all of what's happening around you. That's what dictates your happiness. Joy comes straight from the throne. And when you're connected to him, Jesus fills your heart with joy, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Difficult people take a great deal of energy and can steal the life out of you. There's no room in our lives for people who are difficult. And I'm not saying we don't pray for them. I'm not saying we don't love them. But look what Paul did. He didn't try to change those men. He got out of there. He got away from them. Point number three, get far away from difficult people in your life. Acts 17:10, their friends got Paul and Silas out of town as fast as they could. They knew, get them separate, get them out of here. There's nothing that we can do that will change this. And there are times, Scripture says, live at peace with as many people as possible. And there's a word that says, if it's possible. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes you just need to say, listen, I'm going to separate from you. I'm going to pray for you. Truthfully, some of you need to get away from difficult people in your life. They're not helping you. They're hurting you. Don't wait any longer. Some of us, we need to evaluate who's in our lives. They're keeping you away from your purpose and your destiny. They're stealing your energy and keeping you away from the calling that God has for your life. Even Jesus, there came a point where Jesus said, listen, I can't minister in my own hometown. I can't minister among my friends. I'm going to wipe the dust off my feet and I'm out of here. There's times where we have to separate ourselves. I always say, don't be afraid to cut ties with difficult people. And I love what Paul, with the help of his friends, Paul gave them the slip. I mean, in the middle of the night, he slipped out of there and said, I'm out of here. I'm done. Don't be afraid to cut ties with difficult people. I want to encourage you, reconcile, try to fix the relationship. If you can't, maybe it's time to give them the slip. Start the new year. As we're getting ready to go into the new year, start the new year with healthy and life-giving relationships. That's how you know you're around good people, is when they give you life. When it's like being around them, it's a breath of fresh air. Point number four, this is where it gets personal. Don't be one of these people. Don't be difficult. We have enough difficult people in the world. Don't be a difficult person. The world already has enough difficult people. Look for ways to speak life and love and encourage others. There aren't enough people in the world that are currently looking to pour life into others. Give people grace. Do you know one of the biggest things I think is missing in our world today, and including the church, is giving each other grace. Got really quiet. We all love to get grace, but my question is, do we give grace? And I'm talking about every aspect of the church. Do we give grace like we like to give? Believe the best in people. Don't always believe the worst. There's sometimes that I've seen it happen where people automatically go to the worst case scenario about somebody. Believe the best in them until you find out different. How many of you want people to believe the best in you? It's really quiet. We all should be, yeah, that's me. So believe the best in others. Believe the best in others. Don't be difficult. Give people grace. You can see this all throughout the portion of Scripture. Paul had a team that loved him and gave him grace. Paul's team and his friends protected him. They had enough difficult people in their lives that they didn't need any more. Find ways to breathe a breath of fresh air into people's lives. People don't need any more discouragement. They need encouragement. You know what? They need a smile. They need people. And that's why I'm so excited about our 30 days of kindness. They need people who will say, listen, I'm just being kind because God's been so kind to me. I'm just showing you love. Do you love that? I love to make somebody else smile. I really do. I love to take somebody who's hurting and turn that around and just love on them. Love them. Take time to evaluate them. Make sure that you're a life-giving people. What's a difficult person? Difficult people are always offended. They have multiple broken relationships. They live in strife. They need to always share their opinions, and their opinions are the only ones that matter. They make life difficult for everyone around them. I think we know what a difficult person is. And my challenge to you is be a person that breathes life. Don't be a difficult person. Don't be the person that makes life difficult for other people. And you know, sometimes I think we can all be there, right? I think we can all be that difficult person. I think there's times in life where I look back and go, man, I was a jerk. But that's that moment where God's able to touch our hearts and say, listen, now's the time to change. You've been a little difficult. And I'm thankful that he loves us so much that he pours out and he points out into our lives. So I want to encourage you, let's not be that difficult people. Let's be people that love. Let's be people that give grace. And today, if you're facing a difficult person, I want to pray for you. If you're facing difficult situations, and I'm seriously talking like you know what I mean, like difficult. I don't know how to get around it. I don't know how to deal with that. I'm praying that God would give you the grace to know exactly how to deal with difficult people. Can we bow our heads? Lord, thank you that your word is so good. Lord, thank you that we can find your direction, your word for our lives, God, as we dig in. And God, we see people that have walked before us, Lord. And they have to deal with things in their lives, Lord, and we see them deal with them in such incredible ways, Father. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. God, I'm so thankful that you reveal yourself to us, God, who you are, every time we turn the pages of Scripture. Lord, today, there are people that are in here dealing with difficult people. Maybe it's family members, God. Maybe, I don't know who it is, but I just, Lord, if they're walking through difficult times, Father, I pray that you would give them a new grace. Lord, I pray that, God, that you'd help them to overcome, that they would become unstoppable. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus, I need to do that today. The Bible says we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Over 20 people gave their lives to Jesus last Sunday here in our services. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe that today is your opportunity. You've come for such a time as this. Say, Pastor, today I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to give my life to him. The Bible says it's simple. That all we do is we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, Jesus, you're my Savior. I'm going to give you my life. I'm surrendering. And he takes the broken pieces of our lives and he puts us all back together again. So today, if you're here in this room and you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to him. Maybe it's a rededication. Say, that's me. If that's you, would you just slip up a hand right now? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Man, it's the best decision you're making in your life. Anyone else? We're going to pray together. Can we all stand? Just stand right where you're at. And we're going to pray together with our friends who raised their hands. Jesus, just follow along with me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I ask that you would take my life, all the broken pieces of my life, and put me back together again. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for loving me. Today I say, you drive, and I'll ride. My life is yours. I give you my life. Thank you for the fresh start.